How many of you speak Spanish? Okay. I passed a sign out there that says the Garden of God.
Yeah.
It must be the cross.
Yeah.
So the garden is not a garden. It's the cross. That sets you free. I've been fasting for 3 days. I always do that. And the time that Jesus ate the Last Supper, which we call the Seder, Jewish language, it means the order. By the time he finished his Last Supper, he said, "This will be my Last Supper. I will never drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of heaven." So the next time we're going to have fellowship with Jesus Christ as the not only the risen Lord, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will be in heaven. That'll be our next meal. So it's always on the third day, and that will be the third day. And that means the third day, whenever you see that in the Bible, it's not referring to the third day. It's referring to 3,000 years. Since Jesus came, that's 2,000 years ago. Now we haven't even entered into the third day, which is the 1,000 years that he sets up his kingdom. And that's after the Antichrist. That's after the false prophet destroy the Jewish people. However, they won't destroy it, even though they wanted to destroy it. Something will happen, and God's agenda will substitute for their destruction, and he'll save all the priests. So all the priests of Levi, and then a certain subcategory of the sons of Zadok, they're the ones, the only ones, that had the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. They're the only ones that bore the Ark of the Covenant, whereas in the bottom of the Ark is the law, but above the law is his mercy, but above his mercy is the judgment you and I will receive because of the mercy mitigating the harshness of the law. So Jesus died, not you. So his commandments are not burdensome.
Promises.
So his commandments are not burdensome because Jesus does it. He is the one that justifies you. He is the one that sanctifies you. He is the one that glorifies you. To God be the glory. And when men see your good works, they'll know you were the vehicle through which he worked, but they'll know Jesus did them, and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. So, I meditate on the gospel every single day. And I arose, we don't know when he arose, actually. What we do know is that he folded up his napkins. And by folding them up, he was indicating, this wasn't done by a robber group. This wasn't done by the Jews. This wasn't done by anybody. I folded my own napkins. In other words, I wanted to be clear there was no hustle, you know, big, you know, rigmarole here. I did this deliberately. I folded up my napkins. He was taught that when he was little. Your bed clothes, yeah. Make sure you make your bed. And so, folded very nicely. And so, the angels weren't disturbed by that. But the disciples were noticing that. Gee, this couldn't have been somebody else overthrowing the guards. It wasn't even the guards that did this. Somebody came in. But this is pretty neat. God always does things perfectly. And so even his burial was not finished until the ladies came the next day to bury a living man. And the angel said to him, what are you looking for? Well, Jesus. Well, oh no, he's not here. The tomb is empty. What? I mean, we came to finish the death off. Oh yeah, he already rose from the dead. Rose from the dead? Now go tell my disciples. So he told the disciples. This is all prolegomena. I'm not even preaching right now. I'm just talking. So everything that he did was to change the world forever. So history is his story, not yours. We think of history as our writings about it. They're always a lie. No matter what they say, they're always a lie. Because they can't tell you what really happened. But I'm going to share today what really happened. It's impossible to tell this story. No one else has ever told this story the way I'm about to tell it. But it's in the Bible on every page. On every page of the Bible, this is exactly what God intended. So, he changed the church, he changed the state. If you change the church and have a new high priest, you'll always necessitate a change of the law. So now the law is in your favor, not against you. So, he came with vengeance for the wicked. The severity of God is extended toward those who never did and never will receive the gospel. If there were one pagan, one heathen that would have accepted Jesus, he would have waited. He'd wait for one. So when you're a believer and you believe in the words of Jesus and you bank on them, you count them as truth, not lying. But everything else is a lie in this world. Now, I'm going to tell the whole story of mankind. Because what Jesus did, and every passage reflects this, was he fulfilled everything that he was expected to fulfill in his mission, in his commission, in his mission with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and God the Son. Because he became a different man for our sakes. He became the middleman. He became what we call the one who is in between God and you. And it can't be an emperor. It can't be a pharaoh. It can't be a pope. It can't be anybody that people exalt. Anybody whom we exalt is a usurper. He foolishly usurped God's throne and just thought he was trying to attain it. So he ended monarchy forever. He even ended aristocracy forever. He even ended democracy forever. So what's left? If he ended one man rule, if he ended the elite rule, or if he ended the majority rule, what's left? There is one thing that's left. The Commonwealth, which is another word for the Republic. And so America is the first nation in the world that just didn't talk about the kingdom of God. They actually measured every rule they made so that it would never preach Jesus as King and Lord, but it would never preach anything negative, repugnant to that. Never. So, everything he did on the cross was to finish what Moses started, was to fulfill what Abraham promised. It was to bring to pass everyone by eliminating the law. And he replaced it with the gospel. So the law is something so powerful that it makes you guilty. anyone who tries to keep a law will end up disappointed. Anyone who tries to keep a law that God made, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, nobody's ever done that. And love your neighbor as yourself. Nobody's ever done that. So Jesus did it for you in the Father's name. He came in the name of his Father. So Son of God became Son of Man, and now he's a man. That means he could die. And he did die. But his death ended everything. Chair four. Chair four is you have to have faith in that death, which ended monarchy forever, aristocracy forever. Don't think, because what I'm saying doesn't make sense to your brain. Democracy forever. So all the standard Aristotelian concepts of justice were thrown out the window, because they all announced vanity. One-man rule never works. A parliamentary rule never works. An aristocratic oligarchy never works. Democracy never works. You'll notice on television, they always say, we're a democratic republic or a democratic thing. Not true. Not true at all. Just like we're not moral. No one in this room is moral. Moral is man-made works that you discovered by your reason. Man-made works that you discovered by thinking, feeling, wanting. So, everything that man thinks is wrong. Everything that God says is the truth. And it'll set you free. Now, I will show you how liberty replaced tyranny. How religious liberty replaced civil tyranny forever and ever. Did you know Texas was born that way? Santa Anna intended to impose upon the American who were settling here, who'd already built houses, who'd already been renewing their land. He said, I'll end that. I'll force everyone. I'll coerce. I will compel everyone to be a Roman Catholic. Well, no one hated the Roman Catholics. That wasn't the issue. The issue is that the government would force it. And so you'd have a state religion. And you'll have to listen to this message over and over again in order to understand the subtlety of which I'm about to speak, because it's hidden. It's hidden in the text. You'll just read it as though it's human history. It's not. It's God's story. It's God's story, his instruction. His instruction to help you to live day by day as a lover of God and a lover of your fellow man. Nobody has ever seen that. There's no peace on earth with God, and there therefore is now no peace with man. People can't stand to live with each other. Even marriages fall apart. Even if you're alone on an island, you can't get along with yourself. And so that's the problem with people. They're people. Did you know that God allowed that? Did you know that God allowed it? And now we live in civilization. But that's not civilization. You'll see someday Jesus himself comes back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He'll hand up all the kingdoms of the world to God, who made him in the first place. And so his original intention was to have servants on earth. Now he has none. Now he has none. Except you do it by faith. Chair four. So that's the foundation. If you don't start there, you can't get through five and six. So if you don't start with what God set up, you'll never advance at all. No foundation? What can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? When God sets them up, you can't destroy it. When God sets up a foundation, you can't destroy it. For everyone else in the world, it can be destroyed. Even they fear it. They fear an atomic blast or, you know, some kind of outer space thing or whatever. How silly. The Bible says these words, fret not because of evildoers. Fret not because of evildoers. Well, everyone's fretting today. Except Trump. And me. I don't fret. I don't fret because of the homosexual agenda. I don't fret because Al-Qaeda is everywhere. I don't fret because they're going to poison the water. I don't fret about anything. Why? Because God has said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it or her, the bride of Christ. So, you're the only thing that can resist the devil. You are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And you are the dwelling place of the true and living God. Amen. That's what Texas is. Texas is different than Iowa. Texas is different even than Virginia. Texas is different. Why? Because we learned 60 years later, 1836, we learned a thing or two and said, you know, those American words are just words. But already America is totally into making money. Mammon. Did you know you cannot serve God and mammon? You either serve one or the other. And how many here have been mammonists in the past? In the past. In other words, material things were more real than spiritual things. You began in the spirit, you ended up in the flesh. That's witchcraft. You began in the spirit, but now you're ending up in the flesh. Romans 3, verse 1. Following. And so, everything that you've been taught is a lie. You go to college because you think you're going to learn something. You won't. You go to kindergarten because you think you're going to learn. You won't. Why? Because America has changed. We're no longer God-fearing people. We are now people that are worried about jobs. We're worried about, you know, how am I going to get money to pay the taxes? And people hate April 15th. I mean, they hate it because it's a tax day and they're going to rob me of, you know, and take away all my liberties and give me taxes instead. Now, so Rome wasn't the first one that thought about taxing the people. It also happened in Egypt. Now, I want to tell you a story. 3 days ago was Passover for the Jewish people. It doesn't often happen, but they also were celebrating at the same time their Passover meal. The real thing, as far as they're concerned. But it's not real at all. The way we teach it is the truth. Why? Because Passover depended upon the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And the Jewish people said, we've never been in bondage to anyone, Jesus said. If you practice sin, you're in bondage to sin. Ah. He goofed it up because he was trying to teach, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And so, I am the truth, the way, the life, everything, the door. I'm everything you need. And if you listen to my words, you'll be free forever. You'll be free forever. No one can take it from you. Once you're a believer, you could fall away. Once you're a believer, that's not enough to get you to heaven. Even being a disciple is not enough to get you to heaven. But you'd have to be a complete lover, which would mean you're dead in chair 5, so you can resurrect in chair 6. So, number one is the foundation. Don't build on it. If you build on that foundation, I've been born again. I was a Baptist and I got born again at 8 years old, or 15, or 17, or 25, or 88. It doesn't matter. That is not enough to get you to heaven. Neither is being discipled. But when a disciple is fully taught, he will be like the master. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Oh, just like God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so, here, Jesus Christ, the middleman, who is our mediator. He's the one in the middle. He's the one that is in between God and your soul. Soul. Spirit, soul, body. Now, if he's the one in the middle, He likes you. Did you know that God always likes you? Did you know God has never changed his mind? He's still a loving father. He's always been a loving father. Even he loves Adolf Hitler. He loves everybody in the world. This scandalizes the world, what I just said. I was booted out of a certain place because I said that. That Adolf Hitler's just like us, we're just like him. Oh, you know, he's demonic. And so they booted me out. And I was so happy. I was so happy. So that set me free. I love it. When bad things happen to me, it's always good news.
Yes.
When bad things happen to me, it's always good news. Has anything bad ever happened to you?
Yes.
A few things.
I haven't always viewed it as good news.
You haven't? Yeah. You did wrong. You fretted.
Wrong, I know.
You fretted.
I fretted.
But in every life, there's problems. Did you know that? In the world, you have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Goody, goody for you. What about me? Ah, he did it for you. He did that for you, so you did it. So therefore, you don't have to please God because he's already pleased. How can you please a father that already loves you? And he wrote his name on everybody at conception, not at birth. Not at birth. So all those people doing wrong, too bad. But I don't feel sorry for them. I just know they don't know the truth. So I pray for them, forgive them, love them, bless them. I don't ever say anything negative. I don't ever curse them. I'm glad they're good enemies. But they're not where I am. Why? Because God supernaturally saved me. Not naturally. Not through my brain. Not through my, you know, stubbornness or whatever. He didn't do anything based on me. He just did it. He did it passively. I didn't even know about it. He did it 2,000 years ago, and I haven't even seen him. He did it, and I was against being a Christian. I didn't want to be a hypocrite or a liar. And so I always told myself the truth. You're a liar. You are rotten to the core. You are no good at all. Have you ever said that to yourself? Golly, I'm not as good as I thought. Well, yeah. If you thought you were good, you bought a lie. Because I know Dan is a liar. But he's been forgiven. Now, if you've been a liar, but you're forgiven, then it reverses the whole thing. Because even though I'm a liar, and even though all bad things could happen to me because I deserve it, the law is over. The gospel has begun. Law down, gospel up. Did you know that there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? Because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Wow. So that's something Jesus did on resurrection morning. He fulfilled everything this world was trying to, wanting to, but couldn't achieve. He achieved everything on your behalf. He said, you're free. When, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you're free. Now you have a new heart, but you don't have a new soul. You don't have a new body. That's coming later when Jesus comes back. And in a twinkling of an eye, you'll have a new body, new soul. Twinkling. Boop, just like that. Eigenblick. So within a, just like that, a nanosecond, new body, new soul, new everything. Heart, soul, body. Heart, soul, body. Love him with all his heart, all the soul, all the body. You can't do that right now because your heart is new, brand new, perfect, but not your soul. You're still not dead to this world. You're still not dead to this world. You're still not dead to this world. I mean, every once in a while you're tempted. Did you know Christians sin? I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about Methodists or something. Christians do sin. The best of them. Man at his best state is altogether 39.5. Psalm 39.5 says man at his best state. I mean, that's when you're religious, when you're nice, you're kind, you get cancer, and so on. Did you know people that have cancer often are bitter, even though they're smiling? No, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. It doesn't make any difference. Cancer can strike anybody that's full of guilt, that's full of anxiety, that's full of stress, that's full of disease. that's full of an unstable life. It may look stable on the outside, but on the inside, you're falling apart. Did you know people hate themselves? Everybody. Unless you're born again. Then you have at least a new heart. That you want to build not with wood, hay, and stubble. You want to build with precious stones. Amen. But you can't do that. So Jesus does it. Because he's the maker of the world. So he can give you a new heart and a new soul and a new body. And when he comes back again, he's going to get married to you because you have no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, no stain, no nothing. So you can go to heaven. Live there forever, never, 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 never. World without end. How many know that's your future? Karen, you know that.
I do know.
Are you learning that?
Yes, sir.
Have you learned from Karen a little bit?
Yes,
she's not smarter than you, but I'll tell you one thing. She learns quickly.
I know.
Uh-oh. I lived wrongly. Uh-oh. This sounds like good news.
Yes.
Everyone loves good news. Jesus is nothing but good news. He tells you the truth that'll set you free. You are not under a law. You may think you are. You're not. That's just psychological. Oh, I still try to be good. Well, that's just psychological. Psychology is nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. I never pay attention to psychology. There is no such thing as a Christian psychologist. It's an oxymoron. And you're a moron for believing that oxy. And so that's the way they teach you in school. Everything today, even our DAs and all the people in there, they're going, gee, our biggest problem today is people are crazy. People are, you know, nutsy, you know, whatever. And that's our biggest problem. It's no longer, you know, you killed somebody or, you know, you robbed somebody. It's something, you know, it's deceptive. Oh, he didn't know what he was doing. That's funny to me. I always knew what I was doing. I was always in touch with myself. I knew what I wanted was for me. Has anyone ever, did you, when you were a little kid, did you ever just think of yourself? You weren't thinking about your mother, your father, your brothers and sisters, and so on and so forth. You might admire them, and so on and so forth. That's because you're foolish. But you'll soon learn that everyone's a sinner. They're out for themselves. Dog eat dog. I learned that. It's just dog eat dog. And my parents lived that, so I was aware of that. And so I was aware of the mafia. I was aware of all that kind of stuff. So I love the mafia because when they want to do something, they just disobey all laws and just do it. And if they make a promise, they're going to do it. And they'll kill anybody that gets in their way. And so my father worked for Jimmy Hoffa. And his brother Tom and his brother Vic, they were the Italian mafia in Chicago. And that's where all the trouble comes from. When you want to kill a president, you go up there. That's how they killed Kennedy. I know exactly who he is. And I know what he did and how he did it. Because of my mafia background. You learn it's not what you know, it's who you know. You know, Uncle Vic sent me, you know, they know that. They know who you know. And so that's how I advanced in life, totally by crookedness, totally by deception, trickery. It's good to have a pastor that's a trickster.
Yeah.
But my name actually means that. My name actually means a supplanter. Someone who deceives. Like his mother deceived the father. Remember that? You know, he put little furry things on his hands and then the father couldn't see very well. And he felt the arm. Hey, yeah, you must be Esau. So he got the blessing and he got he got everything. And his brother was ticked off at him. Wanted to kill him. And the mother happened to understand. She heard him saying, I'm going to kill so-and-so. And she said, I think you need to go back to another land right now because I think your brother's about to kill you. And she said that. He's about to kill you. Oh, so don't go out in the field with him like Cain and Abel. Don't do it that way. And so something was powerful. Now, by fasting 3 days, I'm thinking about the gospel. I'm thinking about the good news. I'm thinking about the good news. Hallelujah. God is good. So everything that Jesus did was good. Everything you do is not. I'm going to say that again because you might not have heard me. Everything you do is evil. Everything God does is good. Maybe you didn't hear me, because you'd be shouting if you heard me. Everything you do is, you did it. And everything you did is no good.
Right.
Thank God David is here, because he knows what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And so, you'd make a good mafia member. Everything we do is not acceptable to God. There's only one thing that he accepts, faith. That's all he accepts is faith. You have to have faith in somebody else. You can't have self-faith. You can't have faith in yourself. How many know you'll even let yourself down? As soon as you make up a rule, you'll break it. I'm going to be up at 6 tomorrow morning, be worshiping God. At least I'm going to go on Easter, David. I'm going to go on Easter. I don't go many other times. I'm going on Easter. Please my mom. My mom will be pleased with me. She'll think I'm close. I love it. How many know you're a joke? You are a joke. Because you fool yourself. I mean, you fool other people. But you have to fool yourself before you fool other people. You have to deceive yourself in thinking, I could do good. God hates good works. Why? Because he's already done all the good works. How could you do something when he's already done it? How can you do what's already been done by God? Who's perfect? You're not. How could you, the imperfect one who sinned once and thought, well, I won't do that again. You will. Even if you did it inside rather than outside, you did it. Because everybody is selfish. Try to erase it, it won't erase. You can try to say, I'm going to church now, and I'm really doing better. David, God won you over when you were a little boy. You never change. You can't change what God has done. So you've always been a Christian. Period. So once you're a believer, you can't stop being a believer. Once you're a believer, you're a believer, you're a believer. That's it. But God doesn't want you to go back to sin. He wants you to go forward to being a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such impurity. Why? Because God does it all. He does 4, he does 5, he does 6, because he created you in the first place. So whatever he does is perfect. So he created you perfectly, but because Adam and Eve sinned, you're going to sin. Aren't you sad about that? Because Adam and Eve gooped the whole thing up. They were supposed to be servants of God. They were supposed to be people that accounted to God for everything that they thought and then decided and then did. So their actions, the law is only interested in your actions. It's not interested in what's on the inside. They tried to probate it. They tried to understand it. They tried to prove something. Can't do it. Everything under the law is imperfect. Everything under the law is imperfect. So laws will never perfect anybody. Yet we have laws everywhere. There's spiritual laws. There's, you know, civil laws. There's natural laws. There's all kinds of laws all over the place. And you can't escape them. But God doesn't want you to escape them. Just get forgiven. That's it. He paid for your pardon. The warden just said, you can go free. I had people in prison for the fourth time. You'd have 3 strikes and you're out. Well, he went the fourth time. But he'd killed 13 people. He was a murderer. And I witnessed to him and he became a Christian. So I said, here's the secret. Now this is your fourth time. You'll be out in a few months. He said, how do you know that? I don't know. I just know it. You'll be out in a few months. Why? You're a Christian. Oh, well, God is going to act on your part. But here's the secret. And I was behind the glass at that time. He was behind the glass. I said, just be an ordinary person. Ah, one thing he could not do. He always had drugs on him. He always had a gun. He always, if you just close a door, he's ready, you know. He'd just wake up like that. He said, now that I'm a Christian, how come I'm like that? Oh, it's so easy. Just come in the kindergarten room with me. So he'd come down, sit in the little kid chairs. Said, now tell me about everybody that you killed and tell me what you did. And then ask their forgiveness. And then I'll forgive you from God's point of view and you'll be forgiven. So he told me all the people that he killed. And then after it was over, I forgave him for everything. I absolved him. It's what pastors do. Did you know anybody can do that? Anybody can do that. Karen, you can do it. You can confess to just anybody, and they could forgive you. But make sure they're a friend. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me, I'm going to tell you my whole life story. You won't like it, but I'm going to tell you. I was a phony, fake, liar. Huh. You should have been named James. You should have my name. It means the supplanter whose name was changed to Israel. Israel is a different word than Yaakov. Yaakov in the Hebrew means someone. Remember his twin brother was trying to get out ahead of him? So he grabbed a hold of his ankle. Little clever kid. And he grabbed a hold of his ankle and he tried to pull him down. Yaakov. It means someone who takes the place of you, and it just, you know, he didn't want his brother to be first out, because the firstborn gets all the, you know, the primogeniture, you know, get all the stuff in the family, twice as much as the others. And he didn't want that. He wanted to be first. So later, as he grew up, he found ways of tricking the brother. Remember, the brother was a hunter and man's man, had hair all over his body, that he got smooth, and he was always in the kitchen with mom. You know, and so Rebecca said, you know, you stay here, you're a sweet boy. Mothers always love the losers, right there? The old son said, I don't care, this one's mine. And the dad loved Esau, because he was a hunter. He, you know, hunted for venison, whatever, he brought it home. Hey, that's what I like right there. But he was famished one day from out hunting, and the brother said to him, hey, could I have some of the soup you made? Yeah. If, condition here, if you trade me in your eternal life deal, that you're the firstborn, you'd be the leader, the ruler. And so, nah, I can't do that. I'll be getting twice as much as you. I'm not going to do that. But then he said, I'm famished. Come on, I'm famished. Come on, give me some of that soup. Okay, if you give me the birthright. So he gave him the birthright. Now he's firstborn. Now the younger brother is the firstborn. And the dad's going to recognize that. Not only that, he had a blessing coming to him. He got that later. So he robbed him of everything. There's no birthright, right? And there's no blessing to come to me. This thing stinks. I'm going to kill that brother. So the mother said, hey, why don't you go to your Uncle Laban? You'll meet your match there. Because that guy's a trickster also. Just be careful of him. But marry a daughter from my people. So he did. He married a daughter from her people. And then the guy tried to rob him 21 years, he said, because the first night that he finished his first 7 years, then Uncle Laban said, you're getting very good. And so it was late at night, and he slept with the oldest daughter first instead of the youngest daughter. He loved Rachel, but he didn't like the dim-eyed older sister, Leah. And so he woke up in the morning, whoa, what happened here? You're not her. She said, oh, that's all right. You don't know our rules here. We don't have a law here. You have to marry the firstborn before you get the secondborn has to get married and so on and so forth. And the father said, no, not a problem. You know, you married to one, marry the other one too. Another 7 years. But anyway, he ended up to, then he was broke after the ever 7 years. So then he was broke. So he said, hey, I'll tell you what. I will work another 7 years. So 21 years he spent all the time with Uncle Laban, the cheater. And he said, this guy's out cheated me every time. If he says the spotted lambs are yours, or if he says the striped lambs are yours, that was the one that would produce. And 10 times he kept switching it. Okay, now you're going to get only the spotted, because that's changed. And then he changed it again, and he changed it again. And 10 times he was changed. That's the time of testing. 10 is a number in the Bible that says you're being tested. It's a small test. It's not like 40 days. This is just 10 days. And so, you know, you'd rather have one of those. So anyway, he finally got the daughter, and then the daughter snuck out the gods of the family. Ha! That's something you're not supposed to do, sneak another man's religion. And so he would, you know, and she thought, oh, I'm leaving home, but I'm going to take the gods with me. And so they were physical gods, so she just stuffed them in her, you know, thing. And she was pregnant, so the father's obviously not going to have her get off the donkey and so on and so forth. So, well, she's okay. She's pregnant. How many know pregnant women can deceive you? Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? That anyone can deceive you. Anyone is a trickster. Did you know we're all alike? Everyone here is just like me. Isn't that sad? That's sad. You're like me and David, the two of us. But because you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. You live like hell, but you're going to heaven. Don't worry about it. God will himself take care of that. He'll make sure you go to chair 5, get discipled, and then he'll make sure that you become a lover. He makes sure he provides for that. So God, doesn't matter what sin you've ever committed or thought about committing, it's all forgiven. When Jesus forgives you, you shall be free indeed. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. In other words, even indeed. Deeds are over here. This is how you are to other people. This is how you are when you die before Jesus and said, I'm not God, you are. And this is how you die here to the sins you've committed, and it pays for your sins. So this is the payment for sins, and this is your death, is the payment to be married to Jesus someday, the dowry. So the same money, the blood of Jesus, the same money, the blood of Jesus, sets everybody free. And when Jesus died, not only the Jews were forgiven, so were the Gentiles, and so was everyone. Because God has always loved everybody. Everybody he's ever made. It doesn't matter what the distinctions are you make up. God doesn't make it up that way. One blood. One blood. You want to prove that? You don't understand. If you marry a monkey, which some people think we're from, you'll die. But if you marry a people, no matter who they are, you could live. Cytochemistry. In other words, there's a way of finding out you're not an animal. Some people do naughty things. And it's going to come if you let things continue as they were. Because you're the republic. It's a public thing. And this, what Jesus did 3 days ago on Passover, was the festival of liberty. First time. First time. Festival of liberty. Liberty always comes from God. Why? Because he wants worship. He wants you to worship him with all your heart and soul and strength. And since he's the only one that can do it, you'd have to have a relationship with him. And since you're the only one that can't love your neighbor as yourself, because maybe the neighbor sins. You ever notice that about people? They just deceive you, trick you. It's easy. It's not that hard. People love to have excuses for why they don't follow God, so they can be deceived by other people. Other people will always tyrannize you. Little kids learn to do that. Little kids, even little kids, they can manipulate their parents. They can figure out in 3 seconds what it is you want them to say and do. And they can do it to please you, or they can not do it and say no. Little kids are smart. They don't believe in psychiatry and psychology and all that, but the psychologist always talks to them. Now, did anyone ever da-da-da-da-da? And they tricked you. And the little kids say, that's what he wants, and I don't want a spanking, so I'll just say what I have to say. Little kid, little bitty kid, doesn't understand anything about those big words. He just knows this person's asking me something, and they want me to say a certain thing. Little kids always copy you, unless you're naughty. If you're naughty, you don't want them to copy you. So at a certain point, in life when they get 21. I set all my children free. When they were 21, I said, now that you're an adult. What? Because you're 21. Oh, you're free. I'll never be your boss again. I'll never tell you what to do. I'll never forbid you for doing things. No more laws. Boom. Over. Gospel only. So you know, by the gospel, you can set people free. And whoever you want to marry, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go, whatever, I'm going to back you up, no matter what. Margaret, you remember that? It was powerful. Because I didn't do it to get their pleasure. I did it because it was truth. You're an adult. So don't ever ask for anything. Just say, this is what I'm praying about. And I might do it or might not do it. But just don't be tricky. You're an adult, and I'm going to treat you. From now on, I won't follow what mother discovers in your room. Hey, look at this little thing here. It's Joe's bar. And she wants to follow and find out where that bar is. I said, Mom, just trust Margaret. She's intelligent. She's good. She won't do bad things. Look at this ticket. Yeah, I see that. She was always wanting to catch the children and something wrong they did. That's what mother did to you, David. She's always wanting to catch you doing something wrong. It didn't work. Now you love him as he is, right? You don't boss him anymore. Is he 21? 24. 24. It's too late now. It's too late. So I want you to know this is something. Jesus Christ is the only one that loves you. He'll be the only one that ever loves you in this world. Nobody will love you like Jesus.
Amen.
And he died for you so that death would be no more in your life. So he conquered sin and death. Sin he forgave, death he did. Boom. Solved everything. And this world, not only did he do that spiritually, he also did it in government. Monarchy will never rule in this world again, even though there are monarchs everywhere. Monarchy will never rule. I want that destroyed forever. So now liberty is going to be a limit on power. Political power can always be abused. But when you have liberty, it limits it. That's how America was formed. That's how Texas was formed. A republic of laws. Res publica. Latin. It means we are busy about public affairs. Anybody in America can be busy about public affairs. And so it doesn't matter what you did or didn't do. It has nothing to do with that. He already forgave your sins in chair 4. See that cross on that Bible? That cross replaced the law on this part of the Bible. There's the two tables of the law. We're not under that. We're under this. This replaced this. So now you've been forgiven. So now that your sins are forgiven, you need them removed. That's just the guilt of sin. Now here's the power of sin, so that you can be one of these, a new man in Christ. So how many here are in chair 4, 5, and 6? So maybe you're not all of that. You might have lied. But it doesn't matter. If you're here, you got a good foundation. This is all that matters. Watch now what I'm going to say. Beholding him, Jesus. Beholding him, not the law, Jesus. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. These are the two degrees of glory. 1, 2. 1, 2. Now you are made again in the image and likeness of God. So you have to go all the way from believing in him and then being discipled by him and trained by him and disciplined by him and then being a perfect person. Only God can make you a new heart. Only God can make you a new soul. Only God can make you a new body. And he is right now is changing you for sure. Why is that? Because he loved you. He saw your first, the day that you loved him first. He saw that, said, this is one of mine. So you can't escape it. Once God loves you, he can't change his mind. Did you know once God loves you, he cannot change his mind? Ooh, what if you did that? Oh my gosh, I'm not going to have you in my kingdom. You're out. God never throws you out. You have to jump out. He won't throw you out. Amen. We're in his hand. And he has you there to be safe in his hand. But if you leave, then you're subject to the devil. You're subject to the devil. You're subject to being deceived, lied to. So everyone now is born that way. And then Jesus came along and forgave you. He said, you know, I don't like the way it's set up because there's no religious righteousness and there's no political justice. There's no religious righteousness and there's no political justice. Why? Because people aren't here in six that could do this. Did you know that America was only founded for a religious and moral people? That's all. It doesn't work with anybody else. So because of that, he said, let's make a government where people can actually follow Jesus all the way, righteously. And that's a free gift, by the way. Just a free gift. You didn't have anything to do with Jesus forgiving you. You didn't have anything to do with his death. You didn't kill him. Your sins did, but you didn't. Your sins did because he always separates you from your sin. He doesn't even see the sin because he died for it. It's over. So all the sins of the world doesn't bother Jesus a bit. Doesn't bother God. He only wants to know, after you've been forgiven, I want you to submit to me here so that you can be one of these. So you won't be resurrected till you're dead, and you won't be dead until you're alive. This is now your new life. You're a new creation. The old has passed away. I want you to say these words. I'm a new creation. Because you are. Kine katesis. It's a brand new creation. You're not Jewish. You're not Gentile. That's old. This is a new one. So whatever you were in the past, you're not that now. So Jewish people become Christians. They're no longer Jewish. I know they call them Messianic Jews, but the point is they're not Jewish. They're just talking about their background. They were, but they're not. And Abraham will be there. Isaac will be there because he's the father of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. Isaac is the father of faith. They're all your fathers. They're patriarchs from of old. So I'm telling the story in a weird way. What happened in Passover? We went through all the signs and, you know, this bread represents this, this cup represents that, and so on and so forth. But what was he really doing? He was really trading in liberty. Because this is the first time in history that liberty entered into the human equation. Never before was there liberty. But Pharaoh, Pharaoh's name was Narmer. Pharaoh's name was Narmer. Narmer is Nimrod. Nimrod built the Tower of Babel. So Narmer is Nimrod. N-M-R. It's the same. They don't have vowels in the Old Testament. So N-M-R is N-M-R. So he's the first one that united Upper Egypt with Lower Egypt. This is history. You need to know history. Why? Because this is a historical religion. It didn't come, you weren't born with it. This one that comes from history. And so, in history, God revealed himself because he said, people aren't doing so well. I don't want them to suffer like this. I think I'll wait 4,000 years to tell them. So he waited 4,000 years. But he tried to work with the Jewish people, but they were stubborn, stiff-necked. And they're still like that today.
Oh, yeah.
Why? They still believe that they could do something good. You can listen to Prager, or you can listen to all these guys on radio. They're always talking about be good. There's bad people and good people. Well, I don't believe that for a second. There's only people. There is no such thing as bad people and good people. Everybody's bad. This man you're going to marry, bad. You bad? Two bads. Too bad. Well, you know what? God likes bad people. That's all he has. That's all he has. And so I don't know why people keep marrying bad people. But that's all there is because of Adam and Eve. You can blame them. But the point is, without them, you would have done it. You would have been the first one to do it. Why? Because God knew when he created you, he knew everything. Everyone's going to do bad. Everyone. As soon as you're 1.5 to 2, you're going to sin. You get that shirt off right now. We're going to church. I want you to wear your white shirt. I don't want to. See, that's a little kid rebelling right there. I don't want to. I like this shirt. It has holes in it, first of all, and second of all, it's dirty. You're not going to church like that. So, and if you don't take it off, I'm going to spank you. And so little kids hate it when you say no, because they're like persons. Did you know little kids grow up to be persons? And so that's why they try to abort them before they, you know, get out of here. Get out, get rid of them. Because they'll be persons. And today, people do it for convenience. I don't want that child. You know, I'm too young. I don't want the consequences of this. So people today don't think. You know why? You know what the trouble is? The church is not the church. The only trouble in the world today is spiritual. The church is not the church. We're not only not a believer, we're not discipled, and we're not lovers. If the church would love God with all its heart, soul, and strength, and that would be a gift. And love your neighbor as yourself, and that would be a gift. If so, because Jesus died for you, that's passive. That's definitely passive. Jesus died for me, and I didn't even know I was included. I didn't even vote for it. I don't remember saying, okay. But he just died for me, and he died for everybody in the whole world, including all the bad people, demonic people, treacherous people. So I like my name, James, the cheater, the liar. And I lived up to that. I was good. I was very good. I look innocent. Do I not look innocent? I am. I'm very innocent. But I was just faking everybody. Even my parents didn't understand me. I lived a double, triple life on them. They didn't know it. And they thought when I went into my room, I was walking in my room. No, I just walked in the room, climbed out the window, jumped off the two-story building, boom, right on the floor. And I used to do what I wanted to do, come back, climb a tree, get back in my room. And they never knew it. And I didn't know they'd never do it until I told them one day, you know, by the way, you blah, blah, blah. You must have known what I did. I was never in my room. I always did what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, when I wanted to do it. How many know that's bad?
Yeah.
Whatever the rules were, I broke them. But you didn't know it because I had, you know, I had my horse had a little branch on the back that covered my trail. Because I was a consummate liar. No, I didn't do that. No. I was good at it. So I would have been an actor. I would have been a great actor. Because I can fake anybody out. I can fake out their accent, everybody. I love it. And I was an artist also. Artists are deceivers because they paint on two dimension like it looks three. Well, the modern artists don't. They just still paint on the thing. But the old artists, and I was one of the old artists. And so I wanted to work for Frank Lloyd Wright. He's the most famous in the last century and part of this century. The most famous guy, and he was still alive. And he sent me, I could go to his school. He had a school in Wisconsin and another school out west. Let's go out west, as far away from Chicago as I can. Yahoo! I like risks. I take risks all the time and lose all the time. I love it. I have 100% score on being stupid. Not stupid in the brain. Stupid in the misuse of the brain. Because I misused it to lie and cheat and steal. I'd never read a book till I was a junior in college. I'd never read a book all the way through class. I never read it. I didn't want to. It's just easier to cheat. I always cheated on everything. And it was good. I did things to let people look on. Or if they wouldn't look on, and I knew they were the smartest girl in the class, I would just go on and lay my paper on top of hers and ask the teacher something, because they don't pay attention. And I put both papers back to my desk, and then I copy down the answers, and then I put the paper back under. But I knew, make a few wrong, because they won't say you cheated. So I always had a few wrong. Passed it in. Well, you did well on that test. But people like to be deceived, like to be naive, like to be foolish. How many know that as a Christian, you can't? You have to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. You have to be wise as a serpent, innocent as dove. So, what did Jesus do? This guy, Narmer, united both lands, and he became a king of kings. Exactly Jesus' title. He became king of kings. He was an emperor. So So that was the first empire in the world, was Egypt, then followed by Assyria, then followed by Babylon, then followed by Persia, then followed by Greece, and then followed by Rome. And so Jesus lived in the time of Rome to finish up what all those other guys couldn't do. So I'm going to trade liberty for tyranny. And he did, forever. You think today, King Un, you know, whatever his name is, God Um, it doesn't make any difference. You can call yourself whatever you want, you're a weakling. Because we, the people, are the only bosses. Why? Because God has in the Bible. Everything is in the Bible. Our form of government will never go against the Bible, even though it does all the time. Just don't regard it. Don't worry about, oh, somebody tricked us by writing in lawyer language or something like that. Don't fret. Pray for them. Everyone needs your prayers, Dan. So pray for them. Bless them. Love them. Forgive them. Do good for them. Never curse them. That's how you make it in this world. If you do that, God will protect you. He'll protect you. Amen?
Amen.
He'll protect you. But if you take your eyes off of him, if you're not beholding him, the other is not going to work. If you just do this one thing, he makes it so simple. This is just one lesson I want to teach you. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Now, you're not only a lover of everybody, you're also a disciple of Jesus Christ who killed you. Because when you have faith in him, and when you start to submit to his instruction every day, it'll kill you. It will kill you. Your old self is dead. When you do what Jesus wants, you're dead. Did you hear what I just said? So it isn't by doing good works. You can't do good works. Only he can do them for you, in you, through you. So he does it, chair 4, 5, and 6. For you, in you, through you. And to God be the glory. When men see your good works, they'll give glory to the Father in heaven. So when you do that, you've surprised everybody. So this king, Pharaoh, he said to, his name was Thutmose III or IV. This was the fourth guy. Thutmose I had a daughter named Hatshepsut. Hatshepsut in the Old Testament is the greatest ever queen. And she adopted Moses down the river, the Nile River. I'm going to go there Tuesday. I'll be there. Julia will be with me, other people. That's powerful because the Nile River is where this all started. This was Egypt. And Egypt had the monarch, the guy that was the mighty hunter before the Lord, Nimrod, who is now Narmer because he destroyed that first temple, that first pyramid that they built. The cap was never fixed on the top of it. And it has to be like the sun shining down on people. And the Pharaoh considered himself the ruler. He was the supreme political sovereign. And so he ordered then the Jewish people who had been favored up until now because of other pharaohs who, you know, just believed that Joseph was a good guy. And so they had all the favor. They lived in the land of Goshen, just like the pillow guy. He's making his sheets out of that 200 to the square inch of that, 200 threads weave and wove. You know, they're all woven together. It's beautiful. And so now people are buying that. But the point is, he must have a, you know, fixation on that because he's getting everybody his sleeper things. But the point is, he's right on the Nile River. And the Nile River enters into Europe and it ends up in the what? Mediterranean Sea. All of that Mediterranean comes from the ocean, but it also comes from Europe versus Africa. And so, because he did that, he united Lower Egypt with Upper Egypt, or where he lived in Uganda, was Upper Egypt at the source of the Nile. And he went all the way down and then united all of the tribes, all of the, you know, tribal units. And gnomes, they call them. And he made them together into one, and he became the first person that was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one else. Just this man alone, Nimrod. He was king over kings. He had lots of kings underneath him, and they had to do what he said, or else. So he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. I know exactly what he looks like because we have his plate, the Narmer plate. And it actually is a picture of Nimrod. Totally. And what he has is he has a club in his hand and he clubs people that he kills. You know. Hi, I'm your boss. And so in the Old Testament, they still do this. You still do this. In the Old Testament, when you conquered somebody, you put them under your feet. This goes all the way back. You put them under your feet, and now this person is actually under me. And David, my son, David said, Dad, you see, I'm a Christian, and I get beat up every day at school. When can I fight back? Well, you can't. You're a Christian. Well, couldn't he just one time I could do it? Okay, just do it one time, but don't hit him too bad. Because then they won't bother me if they see me fighting back. And so one day he came home and said, Dad, I did it. You did what? I smashed this kid right in the nose, and his nose bloody, and so on and so forth, and they've never bothered me since. I said, that's good, don't do it again. Like, you want to be a good Christian, don't repeat that. But now you proved it, and they'd never beat him up after that. Because he proved right there that he could hit you. And so that was bad. That was bad. But he had to be a man's man, right? So he found out, I could do it, but I'm not doing it. So he felt very good about that. How many know that parents love children? Did you know God loves you no matter what? Did you know God loves you no matter what? I mean, with unconditional love. He doesn't have no conditions because there's no law in heaven. Did you know there's no law in heaven? You don't even pay taxes in heaven. Oh, there's not even no dust in heaven. I mean, everything is perfect. Nobody here has ever been to heaven. I know people say they are, but the Bible says no one has seen the living God. So you've never really seen Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody. So I saw streets of gold and I saw flowers. Okay, I don't say you didn't have a dream like that, but you didn't really do all that. So I don't believe that. In other words, I'm not going to go beyond what the Bible says. If no one has seen God, then no one has seen God. So, but someday you will see him, and it's probably in your lifetime. Maybe not us older people, but certainly someone here. But it might even be even for me. Because one day years ago, I heard God say to me, he is coming soon, he is coming soon, he is coming soon. And I wondered why he said that. And I thought, maybe he's telling me that because he's going to come soon. Like before I die. So I've always had that in the back of my head. Maybe he meant for me to see him coming back. Because when he comes back, the bad guys will be gone. And the good guys, which is us, we're the good guys. Did you know that? You're the good guys? What's good about you? That you didn't do anything. You let Jesus do everything. Amen. All other religions want you to do something. All other religions, even Christians, they want to do something that proves that they're a Christian. I did this and I thought that was a good thing I did. How silly can you be? If Jesus already did everything and it was perfect, how can you do something that's perfect for something that's already perfect? So, there's nothing you can do, David. Don't be good and don't stop being bad. Let Jesus take care of it. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. How many know that whatever you're doing, don't take your eyes off Jesus? Amen. Beholding him, we're changed. Doesn't say anything else. Doesn't say when you fast, when you pray. It doesn't say anything. Just beholding him. It's not you. It's not about you. The Bible is not about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. Old Testament, New Testament. You search the scriptures, he said to the Jewish people. You think that in them, the scriptures, you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness to me. John 5:49. Wow, that's powerful. But how many are having a happy time?
Amen. Yeah.
Because God just reestablished the true religion, faith, number four, that's get you started, and also justice will be on the earth. And only justice is on the earth, and Trump and I have that. That was a joke. No, but he's amazing because he's cleaning the swamp, and that's a dirty business. And he's cleaning the swamp, and they all hate his guts. And they'll never give him credit for anything. I love that. And he can handle it. And he's just a brand new Christian. I mean, you know, he used to be a jerk. But he's now shaped up for some reason. The office could actually make the man. Do you know that's possible? I could tell many stories about that. But the office, I'm a pastor, but when I was a pastor, I was totally a pagan. I mean, 100% pagan. And I used to do things that I'm not going to tell you about. But nobody knew that I do it because I'm secret. I don't share a lot with anybody, but I'm sharing it with you now. But I'm not going to tell you what I did. But I did things, for example, I had a Mercedes-Benz one time when I was out on the west side, because I'm from Yale on the east side, so I went all the way there. And I had this Mercedes-Benz, and it was immaculate. It was perfect. And then I thought, and Peggy had a Volkswagen. And so I said, now I'm going to go back to Yale, but if I go back, I won't look like a minister driving a Mercedes-Benz. So it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. But I said, Peggy, we have to give one of the cars up because we're going to go drive back together. And it wouldn't be good to do this, so I'm just going to sell this one, drive the Volkswagen. And so we drove the Volkswagen, looked humble, like a pastor. But secretly, I wanted that Mercedes-Benz. I love that. Now, how many know I don't need a Mercedes-Benz anymore? I don't. I have a Lexus, but I don't care. I'm just joking. I'm talking that I don't really care because I only care about Jesus. I'm just pleasing him. And so I don't have two agendas. Jesus is my only agenda. I've told you the truth, that this resurrection, he died, they went to the tomb, it was empty, and Jesus then said to them, hey, look, I'm gonna go away right now. You don't know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. And I'm going to go away. And I'll show the Father my wounds and all that kind of stuff. And you then need to be ready, because I'm not going to be with you down here. I'll be upstairs interceding for you all the time. Wow. So Jesus is interceding for you all the time.
Amen.
Father, Father, don't look at that. Don't. I died for that. So you didn't see what he did? I died for that. So let my blood cover him. So when God sees me, he sees someone covered by the blood.
Amen.
All he sees is the blood. And the blood blots out all my sins. Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
Yep.
That's powerful.
It is.
That's powerful. So are you growing? I have no idea because I'm not the judge. God will have to be the judge. But since I believe in his word, that's what he said, faith in his word. And so I trust him. So I think everything that's going to happen to me is wonderful. Everything that happens to you, Julia, is going to be wonderful. Isn't that amazing? So you're going to have a good time. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. How does that go? That's scripture. What? How were you born?
Oh, excuse me.
How were you born again?
Oh, fearfully and wonderfully made.
See, there you have it. Fearfully and wonderfully made. So God made you that way, and he'll never turn against you. It's his work. Why would he ever turn against anyone that he made? So anyone else that goes to hell goes on their own accord, under your own cognizance. He'll never send you to hell. You go there because you didn't believe. And so there's only two groups in the world, believers, unbelievers, believers, unbelievers. I believe everything Jesus said, and now I'm being discipled by him, and now I'm beginning to love anybody and everybody. I'm not hostile toward anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. And because of that, I think I'm alive. Because lovers are servants. They don't do their own will. They do the will of others. That is something God says, do that. I'll do it. So whatever God says, I want you to go to Uganda, I'm going. Even if I die, I'm not afraid. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Do you have no fear in your life? Because God wants you to have no fear because of the word. So everything is working out for our good. Nothing can go against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? There it is, right there. That's good news. You can carry that to the bank. God changed the whole world when he rose from the dead. Now he wants you to live a life that is his resurrected body living through you. Through you, chair six. This is your goal in life. This is your destiny, to be one of these so you can marry him, have eternal life, have a crown, have everything that he has, inherit everything God has in heaven and earth. And you are going to be that new heaven and earth. Sam, closing prayer.